The reading today is Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer. By night, but I'm not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you did bring me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open, their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and pierced my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O, my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions and save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. And you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it.
Good morning, everyone. Please do turn back in your Bibles to Psalm 22. When you've found that, we'll pray together. Father, teach us more of what it means that Jesus died for us, for his name's sake. Amen. Unless we come to grips with the terrible doctrine of hell, we will never even begin to understand the depths of what Jesus did for us on the cross. His body was being destroyed in the worst possible way. But that was a flea bite compared to what was happening to his soul. When he cried out that his God had forsaken him, he was experiencing hell itself. If an acquaintance denounces you and rejects you, that hurts. If a good friend does the same, the hurt's far worse. However, if your spouse walks out on you, saying, I never want to see you again, that is more devastating still. The longer, deeper, and more intimate the relationship, the more tortuous is any separation. But the son's relationship with the father was beginningless and infinitely greater than the most intimate and passionate human relationship. When Jesus was cut off from God, he went into the deepest pit and most powerful furnace beyond all imagining. And he did it voluntarily for us. So writes Tim Keller, pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church, New York. In this service, we stand on holy ground as we contemplate afresh the depth of God's love for us. That God the Father should forsake, curse, punish God the Son in my place for my sin. That Jesus should taste hell that I might gain heaven. Today, we fall in adoration at the foot of the cross, and we worship the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our Bible reading is itself miraculous. It's a psalm of David. It was written 1,000 years before Christ was born. And yet, astonishingly, it describes in some detail the death of Jesus on the cross. Just one of hundreds of Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in Jesus. I've got two headings. The cry of abandonment, and secondly, the song of praise. Firstly, the cry of abandonment. Verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? That God might forsake David is understandable. David could be the man after the Lord's own heart, but he was also an adulterer and a murderer. He more than justified God's punishment. But Jesus, what wrong had he done? The Apostle Peter said of him, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2:22. Remember, Peter lived with Jesus, more or less, for 3 years. Anyone who lived with me for 3 days would know about my sin. Peter also describes Jesus as a lamb without blemish or defect. 1 Peter 1:19. Jesus was sinless. He was the only person who's ever lived who obeyed God perfectly in every way. And what happens to him? He's cursed by God, abandoned, forsaken. It's hard for us to appreciate the magnitude of this event. The Father has loved the Son for all eternity. There is perfect harmony between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And yet, at this moment, the relationship between the Father and the Son is ruptured. What is taking place? The sin of the world has been loaded onto Jesus. The righteous anger of the Father against our sin is being poured out onto Jesus. And so, the Father forsakes Jesus. He's abandoned. He is punished. Why are you so far from saving me? so far from the words of my groaning. Why? Because it was necessary for Jesus to pay the price of sin in his own body on the cross. Verse 2, O my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. David also, of course, experienced a sense of desolation. God had removed himself from David. David felt that his crying out to God was in vain. My guess is that most of you have had some kind of similar experience. There are wonderful times when God seems very near to us. There are other times when God seems to be completely absent. I've had a number of experiences of God withdrawing himself from my experience. Notably, when I was a student at Oxford, I was a leader of the CU, I was a well-known Christian, and privately, I had a year of profound doubt. I've also had experiences of severe depression, when I didn't even know if I was real, let alone if God was real. And so it's an amazing thing to me that Jesus has entered in to human suffering. He knows what it is to be forsaken by God. I wonder if that's a comfort to you in your struggles. God, of course, can be trusted. Verse 3. He is enthroned as the Holy One. He is the praise of Israel. Verse 4, he proved himself trustworthy to David's forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the others. They cried to you, verse 5, and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. That's the truth about God. He is utterly dependable. He allows us to suffer. He allows us to go through periods of doubt, but he is supremely trustworthy. God's love for you is real. When he allows us to suffer, it's to refine our characters. David is in the depths of despair in verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. That's how David feels. Notice, it's okay to be honest with God in prayer. Tell him how you feel. He's big enough to take it. Verse 7 and 8 are directly fulfilled at the cross. Jesus was mocked. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. I can't imagine the physical anguish of the cross. I do know what it's like to be mocked. Maybe on another occasion, I'll tell you what they used to call me in school. I would tell you now, but Good Friday is not a day for giggling in church. We've all been mocked. Can you imagine being in absolute agony and having abuse hurled at you? This is what Jesus did for us on the cross. David understood himself as always having belonged to God from the womb, verse 9. God had been working out his plan for David. And so David cries out to God. Jesus had belonged to God the Father from all eternity. We can't get our minds round that. And yet here he is now, forsaken by the Father. Verse 12, many bulls surround me, roaring lions tearing their prey, verse 13. Verse 16, dogs have surrounded me. David was obviously in big trouble. Jesus was being exposed to a pure form of human evil. And all hell was let loose and allowed to do its worst on him. Verse 16 is remarkably specific. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 18, they divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. These prophecies were fulfilled in extraordinary detail. And so David cries out to God for deliverance. Verse 19, come quickly to help me. Verse 20, deliver my life from the sword. Verse 21, rescue me from the mouth of the lions, from the horns of the wild oxen. Jesus, of course, did not ask to be rescued. He simply, meekly, submitted himself to be nailed to the cross, to the mockery, to the dividing up of his clothes. David wanted to be rescued. Jesus wanted to rescue you and me from our sin, from God's wrath, from hell, so that we might know God's love, that we might know God's forgiveness, and know God's blessing. The cry of abandonment. Secondly, the song of praise. Verse 22 is quoted in Hebrews 2, verse 12, and unambiguously applied to Jesus. Calvin famously says of this verse, Jesus becomes the great worship leader of the church. It's an astonishing verse. Jesus is declaring the name of God the Father. He's praising the name of God the Father. In other words, the unity between Father and Son is restored. The Father may have abandoned the Son on the cross, but now their relationship of love is restored. Notice something else interesting about this verse. Jesus describes us as his brothers. We who have hated Jesus, we who crucified Jesus, are now loved by God the Father with the very same love with which he loves the Son. Nowhere is this mystery more striking than in John 17:23. Look how Jesus describes the relationship between himself and God the Father, and the way we are brought into this relationship. John 17:23. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. I in them and you in me. I could preach several sermons on those seven words. Jesus is in us, and God the Father is in Jesus. Jesus prays for our complete unity, so that the world may know that God the Father loves the Son, and that he loves us with the very same love with which he loves the Son. The Father loves you with the same love with which he loves the Son. It's amazing, isn't it? And so the risen Christ leads our worship of God the Father. Verse 23, back in Psalm 22. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Of course, God is also to be feared. He is a holy God who punishes sin. He's to be honored and revered. Verse 24 reveals something of the victory of the cross. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. Quite the contrary. God accepts the suffering of Jesus. He accepts it as a full atonement for sin, a full satisfaction for his righteous anger. In the resurrection of Jesus, God shows, verse 24, he has not hidden his face from him. He has listened to his cry. He's raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him to the highest place and given him the name which is above all other names. Verse 25, from God the Father comes the theme of Christ's praise. See here the reciprocity, the mutual giving and receiving between the Father and the Son. The Son praises the Father praises the Son. And so, verse 26, the poor are blessed. Poor sinners like you and me are blessed as we put our trust in the crucified and resurrected Jesus. May we seek him. May we praise him. All the nations of the world found salvation in Jesus, verse 27. Because God is the ruler of the nations, verse 28. I've got news for the wealthy here this morning, verse 27. The rich are included in God's salvation. Those who die are included in God's salvation. How I love this truth. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, death is defeated, heaven is open. And so, verse 30, all generations will glorify God. There will be people in heaven from every age of history, both those who've lived in the past and, verse 31, a people yet unborn, our unborn children and grandchildren are not outside the scope of God's love. For he has done it. What did Jesus cry from the cross? It is finished. The work of atoning for the sins of God's people is accomplished. So let me ask you this morning, when Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you understand? He did it for you. God loved you so much. Jesus died to pay for your sin, to save your soul. Have you understood that? And if you have, are you praising him this morning? Are you giving your life back to him in love and gratitude and service? Are you speaking about him with those you come across? Is he transforming your life day by day so that you become more and more like him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus' cry of abandonment. Father, we can't really understand how you, who enjoyed eternal relationship with the Son, should rupture that relationship on the cross that there should be that separation because of our sin. But Father, we believe it, and we thank you that Jesus was abandoned to hell on the cross, that we might be saved for heaven. And Father, put a song of praise in our hearts and on our lips today, both whilst we're here together as your people, and when we leave here, Father, when we're with our families and with those we love, would we still be praising you? Would we still be edifying one another with our words? And Lord, when we're with those who don't know you yet, put that song of praise on our lips so that we speak about Jesus and invite people to come to Christianity Explored, the breakfasts and all the different events we put on. Lord, would we be a praising people wherever we find ourselves in life? So, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.